I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. That is the Apostles' Creed. And it's been from almost the beginning. It kind of sums up what we believe, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So that's what we believe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right. I want you to turn to John, the 5th chapter, the 39th verse. But I want to begin at 38. John. This is the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, but I want to begin on 5:38. And you have not, he's speaking to the Jewish people. And you have not, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Now, Paul or John, these are all Hebrew people. And this is to address to their own background. In other words, the New Testament is not the Old Testament. The New Testament is different. And it begins with being born of the Spirit, chair 4. And then you have to die to yourself, chair 5, because you're born of the Spirit. And the Spirit chases away your sinful life. So if you have a problem with sin, everybody does, if you have a problem with sin, you just chase it away by reading the New Testament. However, if you read the Old Testament, don't read it. Don't read it by the letter of the law, which kills, but read it by the Spirit of the law, which gives life. So I want to read from 38th chapter here. And you have not the word of God abiding in you, for whom he has sent him, but yet you believe not. Search the scriptures, talking about the Old Testament. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. So life does not come through just reading or hearing. But he's going to explain it. But it is they that bear witness to me. That means the gospel is hidden underneath the letter of the law. It's not the letter of the law which kills. It's the Spirit of the law which gives life. So the gospel is actually the whole Bible. Nobody teaches this. I do. Because it's the truth. You have to read the Old Testament, but you have to read between the lines. That is, you have to read the white pages. Everything on here is white. And a little bit is black. The white pages, if you read by the letter of the law, that's black. But the white pages are greater. That is the gospel, but it's hidden. So you don't see the light, but Jesus is the light of the world. And you and I are the light of the world. Because Jesus lives within us. Because of that, because of Jesus living in us, he's the one doing all the work. All the work. If you change, you didn't do it. If you change, you did not do it. Jesus did it for you. Then he does it in you. Then he does it through you. So to God be the glory. So that's in the Old Testament. as well as the New Testament. So very little in the Old Testament, very little, zero, should be read by the letter. You must always read beneath the words, the text, and realize the gospel is underneath it. So the whole Bible is the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything is a promise. Everything is good news. And I'll prove that to you today. So everything is going your way.
Amen.
This world was not meant for Satan to rule. But he actually does rule right now over the wicked, over those that are not believers, over those that have not been born again, over those that have not read the New Testament. So the New Testament is actually hidden in the Old Testament. And by my preaching, I've always taught this. I begin with the law, which convicts you of sin, and then with Jesus, who saves you from all your sins. So, for you, in you, through you. That's how you read through. Okay, Jesus went to a cross. That's an opposite, because he's life. So how can he die? He did die, but then he rose again on the third day. And so it's hidden under its opposite. The cross, you have to see the crown beyond the cross. You have to see through the cross. Everybody has crosses in their life. Everybody has things that are troubles, that are problems. Everybody. Even if you exercise, you have resistance to that. It's hidden under the resistance. It's hidden under the trouble. But there isn't trouble. Actually, if you read very carefully the Old Testament, it's good news. It's all good news.
Hallelujah, amen.
And I have to prove it to you, and that's why I chose. I didn't choose. God told me to choose the book of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law, because it's hidden under its opposite. So when it says command, it means promise. When it says command, actually the word command in the Old Testament is I command you this day, thus and so. It's actually a promise, because in Hebrew, the word command could be interpreted in different ways. Could be a command, don't do that, do this. It's not true, though. In the Old Testament, it's a promise, which means it's a precept. It's something God is teaching you, instructing you. It's something that God wants you to know, but it's hidden. The Jews cannot read the Old Testament. It's their book of the Bible called Tanakh, but they can't read it because they always read it by the letter which kills. So they'll perish. Unless you believe that the Messiah of Israel, is actually Jesus Christ. Then you have faith in God. Because faith is the only religion we have. You don't have faith in yourself.
Amen.
And anyone who does perishes. If you have faith in yourself as though you were God, then you'll rely on something that will fall apart. So anyone that's seeking, if you want to be happy, you won't find it. You won't find it. If you want to be fulfilled, you won't find it. Anything you want to do won't work. Anything God does works. So only God works.
Right.
Now, I've taught that ever since I've been here, 50 years. I never change it. So it's always good news. You've never heard me say, now you have to do this. I don't even use that word. I don't use the word you must, you ought to. I don't use those words. I say the gospel is he's the promiser and you're the promisee. In other words, he bears the burden, you get the blessing. Now, if you don't live that life, and I do, but if you don't live that life, you'll be trying to do something you can't do. You can never save yourself. John the Baptist is a good example. John the Baptist is not Jesus. They even ask him, who are you? But he said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that saves you, because he could never save you. His death would mean nothing. He did die, and it meant nothing. In other words, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Was the last. But there is another one, the New Testament prophet, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the prophet of the gospel, the good news. Gospel, euangelion in Greek, it means good news. So everything in the Bible is good news.
Amen.
So the Old Testament is not a stumbling block for me. As a matter of fact, I read the Old Testament all the time, as well as the New. But they say the same thing. The doctrines of the Old Testament are the doctrines of the New Testament. But you'd have to be a Christian born again of the Spirit. Spirit-filled, Spirit-born, Spirit-led. Everything about us is different than the Jewish people. They have no spirit. Unless they believe like Abraham by faith. So he's the father of faith. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and so on and so forth. There are saints in the Old Testament, but they believe not the law to obey. They believe the promise to believe. Did you see what I just said? So they don't believe the Old Testament is full of commands. Abraham was not commanded by God. And when it was just a precept. In other words, something set in order. In other words, it's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hidden in the Old Testament. Anyone who reads it as a letter dies. But if you believe the gospel, you live. But it's buried in the Old Testament. That's why Paul, in the New Testament, was chosen to be the leader. And they were grooming him to be the leader of the Hebrew people. But instead, he was knocked off his high horse, his pride, his self-confidence, that being Jewish, we are the chosen people. Well, if you read it by the letter, you die. But if you read it by the Spirit, you live. So he understood it and wrote in the New Testament the fulfilling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's all the epistles, almost all of them are written by Paul. A few of them, little Peter has one or two, and James has one, and so on and so forth. So in the New Testament, it's all good news, and every one of them tells the good news. Every one of them. You can't eliminate any of them. So I hope you understand what I just read, but I'm going to keep reading here. You search the scriptures in verse 39 because you think in them you have eternal life. But it is they that are which testify of me. So the whole Old Testament is all about Jesus. Can you see that?
Yeah.
The whole Old Testament says Yeshua, 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 Jesus. That's the Hebrew word for salvation. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's our bridegroom. And we're his bride. And so we're the recipients of all of his goodness, all of his blessings. The Old Testament lost it. When Jesus came, he said, I came to this fig tree and I found no fruit. There was no fruit on the fig. I can't find the figs. And that was the symbol for Israel. I came to the this fig tree and it was the season for figs. But all I saw is leaves. I didn't see any figs. So he cursed it. The next morning when they walked by it, they realized, wow, that tree's dead. It doesn't even have leaves on it. It doesn't have fruit on it. It has nothing. So it's just an outward form with emptiness. So because of that, he said, your house is desolate. You're no longer God's people. So they killed him. They killed him because he said he was equal with God. But he was the Son of God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Then God is God, the Father. The Father is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The very first words, I'm going to go off a little bit here. The very first words in the Bible are, Bereshit bara Elohim. The im on the end of Elohim is God, but it's plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Jews can't say that. They just say God is one. We say, yes, he is one. We agree with you. He is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always agree. What the Father does, the Son does, and what the Son does, the Spirit does. They all work at the same way. They have different functions as persons, but they all do the same thing. They were all involved in creation. They were all involved in redemption. They're all involved in perfecting you, all of them. So Father and Son and Holy Spirit, all one. So we agree, He is one, but not the one you're thinking of. This is a three persons in one Godhead. The word for Godhead in Greek is theototes. You don't need to know that, but that word is different than theos, God. This is God, but in His totality, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, the Jews can't read that because they don't know how to read their own Bible. If you read the Old Testament, you'll read it according to the letter, and you'll get confused, and you'll perish. So I'm teaching you how to read the Old Testament. It's the same as the New Testament, and we call it the Bible. We call that the whole thing is the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, always the same. But you have to find out how to read it according to the Spirit. The Spirit of the law is what you need, not the letter. The letter kills, Spirit gives life. Are y'all? I don't know if you can follow what I'm saying. But that's why no one can read this book, even though they're a scholar. They know Hebrew, they know Greek, they know Latin, all that. It doesn't matter. You can't read it. If you read it by a letter, you're going to die. But I read it by a Spirit, so this is a book of life. This is the Lamb's book of life. Amen. This is the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? When he reads the Old Testament, he'll read it according to the Lamb's book of life. Because the Lamb is the one that's going to judge you in the end. The Lamb who actually is worthy to open this book and read it without any confusion. Because he'll read Jesus in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, because he is Jesus. And he knows what work he did in Alex. He knows what work he did in Dan, Amen. Peggy, and Willis, and so on and so forth. You are in this Bible because Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. So when little kids sing that song, they don't even know what they're singing, but they like it. It sounds good to them, so they sing it. But they have no idea what they're singing. They're actually reading the Old Testament and New Testament as the same. So I'm teaching you in a way that no other, I don't know any pastors that do what I'm doing. Reading the gospel in the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Why? Why do I do it? Because I'm familiar with Paul, and I'm familiar with the Reformation, and I'm familiar with what's going on today, and even those that call themselves Protestant don't teach it. They teach the Old Testament as, we're not part of that. Like Dan's religion that he grew up in was called the Nazarene, and they believe you can keep the New Testament. They believe you can do good works. They believe you can be perfect in this world. Well, that's wrong. You can't. In fact, you never do anything at any time. Everything you do is actually just Jesus. Because you're the recipient of a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. You're being blessed by God. You're being favored by God. Can anyone here say, I'm not favored by God? No. Your testimony is this. I am favored by God. And it shouldn't be because I don't deserve it. Because I'd be a sinner otherwise. But I'm not under the law. I'm under the gospel. Because under the law you perish. But under the gospel you live forever and ever and ever. World without end. Now, was I clear enough so I can go on? Okay, I want to read a little bit more here. But I know you, Jesus said. You will not come to me that you might have eternal life. This is a person, not a law. I receive not honor from men, but I know you Jewish people, that you have not the love of God in you. Wow. So they have no love of God, and if you don't have any love of God, you don't go to heaven. You have the love of God. Remember? The faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because it's the only thing that gets you into heaven. So the greatest of these is love. So God is great. How many know God is great? You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even want it. You don't have to feel it. It's just true. It's the truth. God is great and greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah.
So all the glory to God. Now, you can't explain this to someone else because they'll just read the letter. If you read the letters of the Bible, you're going to be confused. It's written to confuse everybody that's not a Christian. But Christians can read right through it and say, it's all talking about Jesus. Everything is Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that reveals the Father. Why? Because the Father's drawing you to listen to Jesus so that you know the Father through the Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is God. So everyone else reads it and they're going to perish because they don't know. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. When you do that, your enemy is amazed and he's no longer your enemy.
Amen.
So our car was stolen 2 weeks ago. And we already have a new car and all that kind of stuff. But it was stolen, and instead of cursing the man that did it or being angry, because we had to deal with the Mesquite police force, we had to deal with the Fort Worth, and we had to deal with all these officers, detectives, and fingerprint people, and fingerprint, and so on. So what? But Peggy and I have been praying every day for this young man, and blessing him. We're not mad at him. We're not angry at him. We're not hostile to him because he stole, a $17,000-$18,000 car and just, ripped it away. And there it was. But we have video of him, so you can see who he is. And he lives two blocks from me. He's just right there in the neighborhood. But it's the rage today for young people who have no religion, who haven't been to church. And he was a foster child, and his mother lives in Mesquite. But the mother said, I can't live with you. You're too wild. I'm going to send you to my sister in Fort Worth. So that's how he came to Fort Worth, just a few blocks from our house. And so we're praying for him. And the only reason I'm praying for him is because maybe I'll see him someday, walking the streets, whatever. He's juvenile, so he'll be let off. The courts will let him off. Dallas and Fort Worth, they don't keep people in jail. Are you understanding? When you do wrong, they let you go. So there's no law. Well, the law is gone. We're a lawless nation. It's not the America that started out with the founding fathers. It's a different kind of nation. That's okay. We can live in the midst of evil people and be good.
Amen.
How are you good? Well, you're not good by what you do. You're good because of he is good and does all the work that you have to do. In other words, you get the blessing, he gets the burden. He gets the burden, you get the blessing. Because he's the man in the marriage. And you're going to be married to Jesus someday and be the bride. So because of that, you don't have to do anything to get it. He's always loved you. From the foundation of the world, God has always been a loving father. And to anyone that says, well, the reason I'm doing this, blah, 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 and they just say stuff, you're wrong. Whatever you say is not true. Because God has always been good, and he said, you hated me without a cause. In other words, I was a good father. I was a good father. Now, human fathers sin. No problem. How many know that anybody sins? Even women sin.
Amen.
How do you know? Men and women both sin. So forgive them. Love them.
Amen.
Bless them.
Amen.
Do good.
Amen.
And never curse. So in the New Testament, there's no curses. Old Testament, yes. If you committed adultery, they stone you. Well, there isn't in the New Testament. That the Old Testament, if you read it by the letter, you're dead. But read it by the Spirit. So if you change the priest, you change the law. In other words, religion is the only effect that made this nation great in the first place. And if Trump wants to make America great again, I guarantee you he can't do it. Guarantee you he cannot do it. He's trying. you have to be good in order to be great. You have to be good in order to be great. But no one in, you know, no one is learning from the Bible, from God, from this word. They're not seeing that God is good and God is gracious and God is kind and God is merciful and God forgiving and so on. If you change the priest, well, Jesus is the only priest, period. Every other priest except us. Every other priest, because someday you'll be a priest king. But God did that. You get the blessing, he gets the burden. And that's the way I treat my wife. She gets all the blessing, I want all the burden. Do I always behave that way? No. No. But I had the thought. I should bless her, but I don't always do it. And she catches me every time. I thought I get the blessing and you get the burden. Yeah, in theory. But the actual fact is she's living with a wicked husband. Me. A wicked husband. I'm just as wicked as Dan. I'm just as wicked as Alex. I'm just as wicked as Raul. And so I don't mind being wicked because I am. But I have faith that Jesus is my Savior and he's already forgiven me. In Latin, this would be simul justus et peccator. You're at the same time a saint and a sinner. Has anybody noticed that you're a walking contradiction? Yeah, I believe in God, but then I do ungodly things. Is anyone familiar with that?
Yeah.
Because everybody does it. But the man gets blamed because Adam was first. So the man gets blamed and the woman gets the blessing. Thought you liked that idea? Yeah. I mean, he lives totally to please you. I like that idea. But it's hard to do, and I can't do it. Jesus has to change me. But beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Okay, so reading the Bible in the Old Testament, so I'm going to read the law today. This is the second reading of the law. They got it at Mount Horeb 40 years earlier. Then they wandered for 40 years because of their sin. They didn't even want to go in. God says, I'm going to give you this land. And they said, no, there are giants in that land. I don't want to fight giants. No. I'm going to give it to you and I'll wipe out the giants. I'll do it all. I don't bless you. I don't believe you. And that's good. That's good men. Hey, I'm not going to go and face a giant. When you get big problems, it's like, help. Who can help me? God. Come through. You said you'd come through. Where are you? And God is just upstairs sleeping. No, he's not sleeping. He's aware of everything. And he lets you go through trouble, so you cry out to him. I'm crying. I'm serious about this. This guy stole our car. I want to kill him. No, Jim, read the Bible again. Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. Forgiving, loving, you know, so on. But now we're doing it, and we're blessed. So we have three Toyota Camrys in our driving, you know, we're driving them. I'm driving one that's a rent car, then I have another one, and then I have another one. So we have three of them. Peggy has one. We all have one. Because they last long, right?
Yeah.
So you can go 350,000 miles. And so the one he stole only had 42,740 miles registered on the odometer. But it doesn't matter, because I just believe God takes care of me, right? And what a fool I would be that I believed in a God that wasn't good. No, he's good. He loves me more than I love him. Totally. So sometimes I fall into my old mode, my old way of life, where I took care of me. How many know if you're going to be a real man, you got to take care of yourself? And then the wife too, but she gets second best maybe. But God is saying, no, I'm reversing it. I want her to get all the blessing. You take the burden. Oh, what am I going to do with the burden? Give it to me. Ah, that's cool. So a good man is then dependent on God to take care of everything else. Because God loves Peggy, and I'm supposed to love her the same way God loved me. So the way I want to be loved, take care of her. Make sure she's happy. And then you'll be happy that she's happy. Do you understand what I'm saying? But young people today are not disciplined. And when they look at America, they realize socialism, communism, stupid stuff. And no one is punished. People, with the, you know, they're mixing up church and state. In the church, you're forgiven, but in the state, you're not. You got to go to jail. You got to be. So, young people in Dallas and Fort Worth, all throughout the United States, they're sanctuaries. Ah, well, you're young. Just go out and do it again, and they just release you and you do it again. Dallas and Fort Worth like that. So they're both cities where they don't take care of crime, for especially young people. They're just let go right away. Well, then there's no one to stop people from stealing, robbing, killing, murdering, raping. Nobody there. So what? Can you not live in a rotten world but realize you don't have to sin just because somebody else does? So here, I don't want you to have two gods. I don't want you to have, you know, stealing. I don't want you to have adultery. I don't want you to have anything. You're supposed to be like that. That's the law. But beneath the law is the gospel. However, because I read the Old Testament the same as I read the New Testament, then everything in here is a promise. Everything here is, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Good. So Abraham had a son, Isaac. Remember that? Probably don't. But it's in the Old Testament. He had a son, and he said, I want you to kill him. I want you to kill your son. What? No, I'm 100. I'm not killing him. I want you to kill his son because I want to see if you really believe in me, trust in me, because you're the father of faith. Okay. So he didn't tell his wife that, otherwise he wouldn't have gotten out of the house. I'm going to go and kill my son today. You know, he didn't say anything to her. But the son asked him on the road. It took him 3 days to get to where he was going to kill him. And he said, the son said to him, Dad, Abraham, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham wisely answered, not the truth. He wisely said, and it was true. It turned out to be true. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. And all of a sudden he opened his eyes and saw a ram in the bush. And he said, there he is, that lamb. But he had already tied Isaac down on the wood. In other words, he already had a cross. He'd already tied him down, and he had his knife, and he was about to strike the child because he believed, well, God has to raise him up because he said, this is your son, and you're going to get the Messiah and all that kind of stuff later. So just about when he was there, the angel of the Lord came and said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you trust me. You trusted that there'd be a resurrection after he's dead. Don't touch the lad. End of human sacrifice, right there. End of human sacrifice. Look at all the religions of the world. They started out with human sacrifice. Wow. Let's sacrifice a son or a daughter or somebody who be someone that could die for our sins. That is a sin. You can't do it that way. But God ended that with Abraham. So don't touch the lad. So Abraham stopped right there. Because he thought, well, he's going to be resurrected. But then there was a ram right there in the bush. And he was tangled up. So you go and untangled him and replaced him with Isaac. Say, Isaac, go get that lamb. I think that instead of killing you, I'm not going to do this. So Isaac understood right away. Whoa, I almost died. How many of you have almost died? I have several times. And the way I drive and things I do and so on and so forth, I could be easily dead.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in mafia and all that kind of stuff. So it's easy to die. But falling off the roof a few years ago, I fell off 10 feet from the roof, and Willis was there pushing me. Thank you, Willis. But I never felt a thing. Because I blacked out on the roof trying to sweep it off before all the dust got down on the stuff that was in the attic. And I just, you know, went like that. And I fell right on my head. No arms, no anything. No feet, no nothing. I just fell right on my head.
Boom.
Wow. And then blood was all over the cement. It was horrible. And Peggy walked around the corner of the house and she said, Jesus, Jesus, I can't live without him. And immediately I woke up. And I didn't know I was had done that. I had the ear was 19 stitches, the lung collapsed, 10 ribs were fractured, 4 vertebrae in the back were crushed, and so I should have been dead. But in a few weeks, I was back and normal again, because a miracle took place, because God loves me, and he gave me a job to do. Jim, I want you to do this. Before you die, do this. And I knew that, so I wasn't afraid. I had no fear, and I had no pain, even though I did. I didn't pay attention to it. So it wasn't the morphine. It wasn't, you know, Vicodin. It wasn't anything. I just said, hey, what is this? What are you doing? We have to give you this, otherwise you'll be in pain. Good, I want pain. I don't care about all that. I believe in God. We can't do that. The doctor, I don't care. Right on there, he doesn't want any medicine. He wants pain. So they did. And the doctors a week later, saw me a week later, they said, you don't have to come back. You're not the same person that walked in here the other day. So no surgery, no anything. You just eat bananas, you know, stuff I always eat anyway. Just eat, you know, raw foods and so on. Because I said, I never had medicine in my life. So I don't want that. And they said, you've made a good decision. Because then when you move, you know, those ribs are not healed. You know, so it was easy for me. And so everything was going my way. And by Christmas, that was in October, late October. In fact, Halloween is just two days away. So I lived and back to normal. And I'm still normal. I'm still normal. And my mind still works and my, you know. So because I knew God, when he said something, I have to do it. And I wanted to do it. So I don't have to. I want to. I want to do exactly what he said. So then he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father, Jewish people. There is one that accuses you, Moses. So the problem with the Jewish people is not Jesus. They killed him. But Jesus was not their problem. Their problem was Moses. They didn't do what Moses said. He preached the gospel in the Old Testament because the gospel is hidden under the law. So you see the law, which is the opposite. The law says a command, do this or go to hell. No, the command says this. It's a precept, which means you're translating it wrong. You have to translate the word command as precept. So Torah actually means God is instructing you as giving a promise to you, not for you to do a work. Don't do anything good. Let me do all the good. Let you take the blessing. Wow. Because we're the bride of Christ. All men are the bride of Christ. All women are the sons of God. I mean, God mixes up metaphors. That's his problem. I don't know how he does it, but it's always for me. Always for me. Everything is good news. And I live that way, and I'm happy all the time. You cannot make me unhappy. You can't steal my car and I'm upset. Yeah, I was for 2 seconds. Like, I'll kill that guy. I will kill that guy. And I'm waiting for him. But God had said, no. You're going to bless that guy. So I intend, when we find out who he actually is, because the police won't give you information, they know his name. And they know all about him, and we identified the guy. But he lives in the neighborhood, and someday we'll see him. I'll go and talk to him about the Lord Jesus, because he's stupid like I was. He's completely stupid and ignorant, but he doesn't know the gospel. It's good news that God bears all the burden. You get all the blessing. So whatever was on you, Jesus took care of it. So God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. Does that make sense? So here he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So everything in the Old Testament writes of Jesus. You think that in them, in the Old Testament commands, you have eternal life. Mm-mm. You can do all you want to do to please God, it won't please him, because he's already pleased. Do you know why God is already pleased? Because he's always been a loving father. And the fact that you misunderstood, he'll correct that. He'll correct that. So I hope you understood what I just read, is that Jesus looked at the Old Testament and said, Moses never did anything but preach the same gospel I'm preaching. He was faithful in all that he did by preaching the law. But then he said, before he died, but God will raise up a prophet after me in the end times. Listen to him. In other words, don't listen to me, because you're going to read it by the letter. Because you're stubborn instead, and you're going to read it and misunderstand it. And then Moses said to him, you'll get all the curses that way. But Jesus came along and said, I'll remove all the curses. My blood will not only forgive you for all your sins, not only cleanse you from all unrighteousness, retrain you, but perfect you in love. Amen. Three things. That's your atonement. You had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with creating yourself, redeeming yourself, being cleansed, being perfected in love. That's all God's program. Let God, this is kind of like a union. Let that guy do that job, you do your job. You know, it's like a union. You know, he just kind of signs it. Jesus, you bear the burden, give them the blessing. Huh, that's a good deal. So I like this good news. So have I taught you today the good news before I go on? Okay, now I'm going to go on. God always hides his New Testament gospel under his Old Testament law. I just said that to you. Deus absconditus in Latin. It means God is hidden underneath its opposite. It looks like a law, but it's actually the gospel. It looks like bad news, it's actually good news. That is why Christians are told by God, Christians, us, to read the law of the Old Testament as well as the gospel of the New Testament, because they're the same. Because true believers are born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and led of the Spirit continually. So if you're a true believer and you don't read the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're not going to have a life. Because we live by every word that constantly comes out of the mouth of God. Constantly, continually. And if it stopped, you'd be dead. But it won't stop. Because God's words are everlasting. So you have eternal life right now. You have a new heart. That's because he forgave you. Then you have a new soul. He'll have to do that for you. Then you have a new walk with God. And you'll actually be doing what the Old Testament believers can't do. Because they don't believe in Jesus. They believe in themselves. We will do it. We can do it. Pride and self-confidence. Every man that I know is full of pride and self-confidence. Why? That's the way it is. That's the way you're born. And so the women are usually let off a little bit. But they want a better husband rather than the one you used to have. Remember what he was like when you married him? Remember how many times you thought of divorce? Killing, you know, truck run over. And so, you know, this is a real thing. It actually works. And everybody here already loves their wife as Christ loved the church, because the Bible says that. So everybody says, hey, that's the right thing, whether I do it or not. That's the right thing. He'll forgive my sins, but he also wants to cleanse me, and he also wants to perfect me in love. So that's happening. And because that happens, you're changing the nature of Dallas. You're changing the nature of Fort Worth, you know, the whole Metroplex area. You're changing America. You're changing the world. So people listen to this all over the world, China, India, wherever I go. I preach this to millions and millions and millions of people. And they want to hear it again and again and again. Because it's not the way they read the Old Testament. No one can keep the Old Testament law except Jesus. Amen. And he kept it for you. Then he kept it in you. Now he's keeping it through you. And men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So Christianity is not dying. Now the whole world is into communism, socialism, and so on. It's nonsense. But that's always the way it is in the world. But the devil is the god of this world, but not us. We're a new creation. We're a new creation. Kainakathesis, mean new of a different kind, not natural. We have eternal life in us because you have a new heart. Do you see it? No. Can you see anybody else's heart? No. The secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us. So all you can do is read it, either by the law, I don't, or by the gospel, I do, because I see it by the Spirit. Only Christians can be good Jews, because we can keep that law, but we don't keep it by doing it. Our faith is not in ourselves to keep it. It's in His ability to keep His promise, to bless you every single day. Psalm 68:19 says something like this. Blessed be the name of the Lord who daily loads us with blessings. Every day you get blessed and you don't know how. It's God. It wasn't you. Did you see Him? No, nobody sees it. You don't see it. We're believing something that you can't see. But this Bible, if you just read the Bible, you'll get faith. Don't read it to get something. Don't get a sermon out of it. Don't get anything. Just do it, what He says. But do it, faith in Him doing it. Because He always does everything for you. He's your beloved, right? So every woman here should be happy that Jesus loves you and doesn't want you to do any work. Because women are used to the burden and giving the man the blessing. Maybe I didn't say that clearly. Women are used to the burden and giving man the blessing. Because men don't care about the women. I mean, they're second rate. For God, the bride is everything. You know, when you're married, that day is your day. But that's your last day right there. That was your last day. And so, it'll be hell to pay right after that. But God doesn't like that idea. God wants you to be happy in this world.
Amen.
You can't do it without God's help. So marriage is designed not to work without God. But with God, all things are possible. Now, that's good news, which I teach everywhere, all over the world. All over the world. I can go anywhere in the world and teach this. I'll have millions of people showing up. Why? Because I'm just an ordinary person just saying what the Word says. And that's what people like. Those churches are growing, flourishing, right? But don't see it. Believe it without seeing it. I don't see it, but I believe it. Those words say it, I'm believing that. But you didn't do that. Actually, God did that. The only way you can read this Bible and get faith is you hear it over and over again. One day you go, well, I'm a Christian. I guess I'm a Christian. I was never wanting to be a Christian. I never tried to be a Christian. But one day I became a Christian. And it's like, how did that happen? I was against this thing. I don't want to be a Christian. I like sinning. How many men here are totally into sin? That is selfish. Everything go my way. You know. But God is the only one that loves you enough to do that. But He'd do it for you. And you realize, wow, I work too hard. No, I need to relax. I need to have peace.
Amen.
And He says, come unto Me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In other words, I'll trade you your work for My rest. So, wow. All of a sudden, peace came into me. I never had that kind of peace before. I was always happy, but I was happy sinning. I was always happy cheating, lying, stealing. I used to steal. I used to steal all kinds of things. But I lied. I cheated on everything. I never read a book until I was a junior in college. I always avoided it by cheating. And there's lots of ways to cheat. I knew lots of ways. And I got away with it, got away with it. I got away with murder because no one ever caught me because I was a loner. Now, that didn't mean I had friends, but they never knew what I was really thinking. They didn't know me. And they didn't know I was devious. I lived by my wits. And I could joke a lot and so on and so forth, but they didn't know what I was really doing, you know, stealing. They didn't know that. And the police don't, I look innocent. Do I not look innocent? I look innocent. I look young. For 80 years old, I look young. But, you know, I'm Edie. And Peggy's older than I am. 5 days. So we're happy. You know why? Because of Jesus. So I want everyone here to be happy all the time. Can you be? No, but God will give you that. Because he daily loads you with scripture. Just read the word. Boom. Everything is going your way. All right. True believers are born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit every day, and led of the Spirit continually. Spirit-born Christians are then the only natural persons, you have to be spirit-born, who can truly be enabled to interpret and understand God's holy word in spirit and in truth. You have to read John 4 to read that. When you worship him in spirit and truth. How do you do it? You don't. You don't do anything God said to do. Whatever he said to do, he did it for you. Whatever. That's a good father. That's a good husband. That's a good provider that actually says for you to do it, and then he does it for you. Good. Good father. You say, hey, clean your room or you're not going out and play. And then the little kid will say, but John is out there. He wants me to play with him. Well, you can't until you clean your room. Take me a long time. Could you do it, Mom? And moms do it. They just do it. They just, well, okay, I'll do it. But next time you do it, and just don't throw your thing at the bed. Think it's made. Push the toys aside. Put them in this box over here. So moms do that, and they sacrifice for these kids for, you know, 20-some years. Because our kids, even when they got married, they were not mature. And they married some jerk, somebody that's no good. But because they were all Christians, they're doing fine. So you need to find someone that's decent. You need to find someone that's, you know, had some religion in him. Because otherwise, nothing will stop you. Nothing restrains you. You got to be self. You have to have the self. So I changed. My wife didn't change. I changed. Because God said, I'm after you and your sins. I'm going to get rid of your sins. Does that mean you're going to kill me? Yes. What? So now I'm a man killer. Because that worked with me. He said, these are your sins. And I'll just tell you what I'm working on. But don't help me. I'm not going to help you because I don't want to stop. But he did it. And I realized, wow, there's a God. There's a God. And I believe in him. So from now on, my whole life is just Jesus. I follow Jesus. So the letter of the law leads to sin and death. But the spirit of the law leads to eternal life in heaven. The Jewish believers are incapable of interpreting and understanding their own Torah. First five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Even though they know the Hebrew grammar and all of its nuances. Thus, only the spirit-born, spirit-filled, spirit-led Christians possess the power, the ability to read and hear the Old and New Testaments contained in the Bible. So, I'm going to tell you something about, there are seven churches, seven. The first church is Ephesus, the last church, which we're in now, is Laodicea. The Laodicea, you'd think that after all these 2,000 years since Jesus, that the world would be different. It's not. It's exactly the same as it was in the beginning. So we're a divided nation. We used to be, you know, one nation under God and all that kind of stuff. But we skip God. And when we skip God and you skip the Constitution, then it's lawless. And so everything today is lawless. You can see not just one party or the other party. It doesn't matter who you go for. They're corrupt. Period. They cheat and lie and steal all the stuff I used to do. All of it. And I'm familiar with that, so I don't have any problem. I don't judge them for it. I just say, it's clever of you to think of that. But it'd be better if you feared God and did what he said. Because the way you're doing it is not going to work. So I don't have to save the world. I'm not trying to save the world. I'm not trying to do it. But I do it indirectly by being happy. I do it indirectly by obeying God. And by doing that, I meet with presidents one-on-one. So you can't just meet a president. There's protocol. You have to know how what to say and how to say it and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, I can do that anywhere in the world. I can meet with the president one-on-one. I don't meet with him lots of people. No, one-on-one. He tells me what he wants. I'm a giver. I'll give it to him. Then I tell him what I want. Leave me alone. Just don't give me a penny. Don't favor me. Don't do anything. Just leave me alone. And presidents that do that, they flourish. Presidents that don't, they don't. So it's real simple. How can a person offer something to a king who has everything? You can't. You can't give him because he has everything you want. So I just say, no, your people will be blessed because I'll buy the land, buy the cows, pigs, chickens, goats, whatever you need, dig the wells, build all your buildings. In other words, I'll do the whole infrastructure for you, and then it's yours. You keep it, not mine. So you owe me nothing. So that's working. So we have over 40,000 churches just in Uganda itself, a very poor country. But now it's moving up. We have one-fifth of the nation following all my teachings. That is what I'm just saying to you now. And they like it. And sooner or later, you meet the businessmen, you meet the politicians, you meet the pastors. But my most important thing is meeting pastors. Because the pastors are the ones that are corrupt. If you have a corrupt pastor, it's not going to work. You have to be able to read this word in the way it was written by the Holy Spirit. And since that's the case, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is not a Catholic thing. It's not any law-based Jewish thing. This is something that you don't do anything. You just believe God promised to bless you. That's all. You just believe God. He wants to bless me. Okay. Doesn't make any sense to me, but if you want to do it, go for it. And I'm not going to help you. I said, good. I don't want your help. Because you're not perfect yet. Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, keep working until you get all my sin out. But I'm not going to help you. And do it at night when I can't see you. Because I don't want to do any law. I don't want to be obligated by anybody. Hello? That's a real man. I don't want to be obligated by anybody. Say, hey, will you do that? My wife will do anything. But I don't want to do it. Do it. If you want to do it, that's foolish. But you want to fix up things? Men are supposed to fix things up, but a lot of us are lazy and so on. But my wife likes to, you know, I'll help you. I'll help you. It's just like, Peggett, stop being nice. You get in trouble every time you're nice. You know, so she talked to the guy that stole our car the night before. We're friendly to him because he's friendly to anybody. Every culture, I don't care what it is. She knows everybody that lives in our neighborhood, walks in their house and and it's great because she teaches the gospel and so on. But she also is just friendly to everybody. We'll pick you up. We'll do this. We'll do that. I don't want to have that person in my car. Get, do it. Just do it. All right, all right. Okay, I'll do it. So we have a normal marriage. But it's not really a normal marriage because we actually go by the Bible. So it's powerful. So there were seven churches called the church ages ever since Jesus died. He said in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, it'll say there are seven churches. First one was Ephesus, and the second one is third, and so on, Thyatira and all that. But the last one is different than the sixth one. There's seven. We're now in the seventh, Laodicea. That began the day Texas was born. The day Texas was born. And that day was 1836. The sixth one, no sin in the sixth one. The sixth one started in 1516 with the Protestant Reformation. And that led up to the creation of America. And Texas was one of the states everyone wanted. And so most of the people were Protestant, but they said they were Catholic because the law said you have to be Catholic. So everyone said they were Catholic, but they actually did the Protestant thing. In other words, they were rebellious. So the people that came here came from Georgia, came from, you know, Tennessee and so on and so forth, but they were all Protestants. So Jim Bowie and all those kind of people, those are the ones that came here. And if you'd committed a crime in America, you'd just go to Texas and get free land. So everyone came down here to get land. But the Mexican, they didn't want to do it. There was a few big Mexican spreads, and they joined us to say to Santa Ana, we don't want you to force religion on us. Let us be free. Whatever we want. No. I'm going to not only kill everyone at the Alamo, I mean everyone, except three people escaped. A black man, a woman, and her son. That one, those are the only people that escaped. And that was, so you can tell everyone, we killed everyone that was a soldier here. And he said, I'll exterminate the Texans forever. So they were borrowing, because they learned from America 60 years earlier, 1776, they learned from America this thing of liberty and freedom for all. Well, that was never in the old world. It was never in the world today. It's not there. China is still, you know, communism controls everybody. Every country does that. Every guy is a politician to make money and, you know, do his own thing. I don't blame him. That was what I'd want to do if I was young. But it's time to grow up. And so Texas said, we're going to be one nation under God. It says something like this. Article 1:6. All men have a natural and indefeasible, you can't defeat it, right to worship God, Almighty God, according to the dictates of their own private conscience. Wow, that was new. That was something that America had tried out, but it was fading fast because the Americans who wrote all those wonderful words in 1776 all the way to the end of that century, they wrote all those words, but they just became mammonists. Noble words about, you know, men are free and self-governing and so on, but they didn't live it. They didn't live it. And so because they didn't live it, Texas said, you know, we're not going to have that. Even though we're all criminals and, you know, people that have escaped, even though that's true, let's be under God. If you don't have God, you have nothing. And so their Declaration of Independence said something like this. They, meaning the Mexican government, under Santa Anna, not the Mexican government. They wanted to be free like we were. But when Santa Anna took over, he was the head of the army. He was the Napoleon of the West. And so he tried to do the same thing, control everybody. Everyone has to be Catholic, and if you're not, you're dead. That's it. I'll exterminate you. I'll find a way to get you because you weren't truly following the Roman Catholic Church. Well, we weren't against Catholic. Catholic is not a problem. We just don't want the government forcing that on every conscience. What if you didn't want to be? So let's be like the Americans say. And so a lot of the Mexicans that stayed on our side fought in the Alamo against their own people. But he had 7,000 troops. And then there are 2,000 over here and 2,000 over here that he could call at any time. So he had a lot of people ready to go. But Houston, Sam Houston, our general, he said, let's go and meet their army instead of retreating all the time, because they're going to chase us all the way and try to get us. And they have more troops than we do. They have bigger cannons than we do. They outnumber us and outgun us. How do you win? It's easy. You win by trusting in God. And so say that he, that is the Mexican government, denies to us the right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Ah, so there it is. That's still in the Bill of Rights in Texas. It's still there. Article 126. Then again, you read 129, which says, any transgressions against this are against our Constitution, and they are inviolate forever. In other words, this can never be changed by the legislators. So the legislators today are finding a way out of the Constitution. They don't like the Texas Constitution because it restrains them from doing bad. So everybody's trying to find loopholes in which they can say, well, our laws say this. Yeah, you're just talking about the lowest man on the totem pole. You're supposed to be our servants. We're not supposed to be yours. But it's a reverse now. Now we're the slaves and they're the masters. Because the government wants all your dough. They want all the money. And then they use their money to manipulate you. If you do this, and if we do this, and we want a toll for this road, and so on and so forth. Well, that's our tax money. Why are you punishing us? Why, if you have three lanes, why can't we go on the lane that's empty? But you can't, even though it's your money. And so they're crooked, and they give it to another country, and so on and so forth. It's all kinds of games. So the whole world is unreal. It's not exactly what the Bible said. How do you change it? You can't. You can't, except one way. Have faith in God. Worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Boom! God would then heal your land. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. I will absolutely give you another America. Not the one Trump is talking about. It's the one he wants to do, but he'll not do it without being good. So you have to have people that you can trust in government. Are there? Yeah, there are few, but they're not the most. And so even the Republican Party, the Libertarians, the Democrat Party, I mean, they're just socialists. They're all names that say, we're not united anymore. We're not one people anymore. But we have to be. We have to grow up. And you can live in a wicked thing, but you just be right. You just be right. So you can do it, but you're going to suffer. People today don't want to suffer. Young people today particularly don't want to suffer. Hey, free housing, free schooling, free hospital, free everybody. That's great. Everyone wants that. You know, yay. But when they grow up and have stuff, they don't want it free anymore. They want their kids to behave. You can't get it if you're not behaving. So everything is wrong. So that's the sixth government was from Luther starting the Reformation in 1516 all the way to America, all the way to Texas being a state. Ended right there. After that, God was out. After that, the whole 19th century, God was out. So everyone wanted to make money. Everyone build their own little cabin and, you know, grow some crops and cut down some trees and so on and make money and enter the market. So God went out the window. If you forget God, you forget everything that counts. You not want a God. And so people today aren't enjoying themselves. I enjoy myself all the time because I'm not afraid of anybody. If you're afraid, if you're intimidated, you live in a country that could do you in. I believe God. So let's say I die today. Good. Praise the Lord. Not scared at all. I'll just resurrect someday. Boom. Back again. Just like I get from the sickness and anything else. I'm just telling you, this thing is good news. So that church age lasted 320 years. 1516 to 1836. 320 years. That period of time was Philadelphia, brotherly love. In other words, we not only love God, but we also love our neighbors, ourselves, and so on. So no sin was found in them. As far as God was concerned, he didn't say, here's a sin in this church, here's a sin in this church, here's a sin in this church, blah, blah, blah. But that one, no sin. And that was, get hope for people, faith for people. They actually believed that something good might happen. It stopped because godliness was replaced by mammonism. Make money. Forget God. Let's deal with this world. So everything, every philosophy, every ism that's out there right now wants you to be, free and so on. But they promise something they can't deliver. You cannot deliver. A man is free, but yet they can steal your car and do all that stuff. So you're not really safe unless you have God. God is the only one that can make marriage work. He's the only one that can make a business work. He's the only one that can make economy work. He's the only one that can make government work. There's no problems in this world that God can't solve. But you just have to do what God said. Pooh. No, I don't want to do what God said. But he didn't say, you do it. He just said, simply said, I'll do it.
Amen.
You just turn to me. Have faith in me. I'll do everything else. If you have Christ Jesus in your heart, because it's good news, and you just trust in him, he'll do everything you want to do for whatever you're encountering. If you do it, it will be imperfect. Everything made under a law is imperfect, even your own law. I can't even keep my own law. I mean, I want to, but I don't do it. How many are lazy? How many, you know, want to be lazy? How many, you know, want everything to go your way? Yeah, everybody wants to, but how do you do it? God. Simple God. And Jesus Christ and his Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what you need, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's no difference between Catholics and Protestants. There's no difference. They believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like we do. They understand a little bit differently because they don't read it right. And they know that it says in the Bible, let Jesus do it. That's a promise. But everybody skips that part. Everybody skips the foundation. But if you don't have a right foundation, your building is going to collapse. Big storm come along, boom, over. So God wants you to know that everything is on your side. God is for you. No one can be against you. So everyone should be happy here. Randy, you should be happy. Judy is not your problem. You're the problem. You're the man. The man has to bear the burden. Give the wife the blessing. Say that to her. I'll give you the blessing from now on. I'll give you the blessing from now on. There it is. We solved it. You see, there are no problems in this world. You just do it with Jesus. Obey him. Do what he says. But do it by a promise. That he promised to do what he told you to do. Whatever he told you to do, he'll do it. Good father. Good husband. So, the seventh church is Laodicea. In the Laodicean church, starting at 1836, I could tell you the whole story, how it is. Exactly in 1836, when James Madison died, same year, same time. When he died, he was the last of the founders. From then on, God was out. From then on, Civil War, all that kind of stuff, all the crimes and all this stuff, railroads and all that kind of stuff, all corrupted. People just wanted to, you know, have pleasure in this world. You're not going to have pleasure in this world. You have to suffer in this world. But suffering doesn't mean suffering. Suffering actually means I see heaven, but I don't see it. In other words, I see it in my mind. There should be heaven on earth, but I don't see it. Because this person has sin in them and they want to do me in. Big deal. You know, I come from a mafia background. And mafia, they get things done because they're lawless. And they don't care about the laws. I didn't care about my laws. I never followed laws. You had to have a swimming test before you graduate. I didn't. You had to do this, take introduction before, blah, blah. I didn't. I never did anything people told me to do. I just hated laws. And I wanted to be lawless, but I didn't think of lawless. I just didn't want to do it. I was just lazy, and I didn't want to read books. I didn't want to do anything. But when I started, I realized, you know, being a liar, you have to remember your last 14 lies. And I realized I must have a good mind because I remember them all. And I'm avoiding the consequences of that. But then he said, no, just do what I say. And I don't want to do what you say. I hate having a boss over me. I want to be the boss. I don't want to be like God. I want to be God. Did you know that everybody in the world wants to be God? They want to have control. Male, female, young, old. Doesn't make any difference. Two-year-old. I mean, they want to go their way. And they say to you, you go to bed right now. I don't want to. They're rebelling. They're becoming a person. And so what are they going to do? Sin. I don't want to. Well, you're going to get spanked right now. And so now you're going to have a war, and you have to win the war. If you're a parent, you have to win the war. So you either spank them, or they say something like this. Why does my sister get to stay up? Because you're two, and she's 18. And that shuts them up for a little while. But they'll think of something, because these little kids are smart. They can figure you out just like that. They're only two, but they already know, hey, I'm a person. I can walk. I can do stuff. And so the whole world's that way, right? Now, in other cultures, they beat the kids down or, you know, whatever. But they're used to, you know, bad stuff. You go anywhere in the world, and I do. You go anywhere in the world, and it's just that way. In China, wherever it is, people just are all packed together and blah, blah, blah. And they don't have any hope. You go to Russia, and you're riding in a mashrutka, you know, which is a big van. It holds, you know, maybe four people or eight people or something like that. They'll have 20 to 30 people in there, squeezed like this. And nobody, if somebody stepped on a child, nobody would even look. They're that sober because they know, don't get involved with other people. So they just crush you. They don't care. Everyone pays the mafia, by the way. All over Russia, the mafia controls Russia. Putin is part of the mafia. And so he's a billionaire. Why? That's the way the world is. So bad people rule everywhere. Tyrants, despots, whatever you want to call them. So what? Just do what Jesus said. If you do what Jesus said, he'll change it. Right? Raul, you've discovered that. It works. It's so powerful. So God wants every marriage to be happy. Right? So just start with your own marriage. If you can get past that, you could do anything. If you can get past that, that there's happiness right there, joy right there, safety right there. Wow. You can do anything in the world. But people don't want to do the simplest thing. You be faithful in small things, I'll give you better. I'll improve you. That's God's promise. Do you believe him? Well, try it. Try it. Don't you like where you are today rather than 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Yeah, you do. Because God's saying, give me the truth here. I'll follow the truth. I won't do a good job, but I'll do as best as I can. Okay, God's not him. He doesn't care that you did anything. His son did everything for you so that you don't have to worry about anything. So the fact that I love this man that stole from me is nothing. It's just in the Bible. It's just in the Bible. So I just do it, and it works. So that person could be, like me, bad guy, and all of a sudden he could be a good guy. So as you make friends with other people, as you love other people, it has a big impact. So everything is going my way. Is everything going your way?
Yes.
Yeah, you just say yes by faith. I mean, you don't have to see it. You just say yes, because God said so. So everything's going our way. Everything's going your way, right? Why? I don't know. There's a God. He has an invisible hand. I can't even see him working. I don't even know what he's doing. When he says all things work together, I don't even know what he's talking about, but I know it's supposed to be for me. So I don't really think about it. I don't waste my time on that. I just say, it sounds good. You know, sounds like he wants to bless me. Go for it. But I'm not helping you. I don't want to help you. And any change that takes place, if you don't do it, I'm not doing it. Because I like being selfish. Does everybody here want to be selfish? Yeah, everything can go your way. But God says, no, that's not good. You need to die. I don't want to die. Yes, you need to die. You need to die to yourself running the show, because you're not God. I just want you to be like God. I want you to be a slave, a servant. I want you to be a servant to everybody. So, when you're a servant, it works. Everyone likes servants, but nobody wants to be one. But when God says, no, that's the greatest in the kingdom of God is a slave, where you voluntarily say, I want to do it. I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. That works throughout the world. Throughout the world. That's why we have all those people that I was talking about in that one country. But I can go to all of the major cities in India. It's a big, they got billions of people, lots of people. But they are a democracy like we are, or a republic or whatever. And so the guy that's the head of the whole Air Force was being inaugurated, and he heard of our group being there. He said, I want you to come where you can't come because it's forbidden. So, but come at night and then no one will check you and I'll tell the guy. So we came and then did his whole service. He's in charge of the whole Air Force over there. He's a Christian. But he doesn't want to be known as a Christian. So we had to come at night and then leave at night. So that way, hey, so we have tight, you know, it isn't, in India is not India. China is not China. Those are just places where they're hungry for the gospel. You may not know this, but Robert, another friend of mine, who's a black man from Mozambique, or wherever he's from, not Mozambique, Rhodesia. Well, what is it called now?
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, yeah. Anyway, he goes all over the world like I do and has the same experience. The Chinese invited him to come and share the gospel with the Chinese communist leadership. The second greatest thing, and China is number one for Christians. Number one per capita, more are Christian today than ever before. Iran is the next one. The place where Khomeini and is all that kind of stuff. Most Christians per capita, number two.
Wow.
That's powerful.
That's
an enemy is actually a friend. You don't even know what this world is like. So you go close to God, God will bless you. That's it. That's it. So forget culture. Culture is going to be under the devil with laws, rules, and all that kind of stuff. Pray for them. Bless them. Forgive them. Love them. That's all God wants you to do. You just do that, it's over. You just do that. Love God with all your heart, but you do it by faith. Love your neighbor as yourself, but you do it by faith. Love your wife, do it by faith. Everything. When you make a good product, make a good product. That's what made America great.
Yep.
And we're blessed in this country. Everyone wants to come here. Why? It's a great place. Because there's opportunity. But if you're wicked, it won't work. Because you have your own, you know, way of doing things selfishly, it won't work. Sooner or later, you're going to be caught. So God is just using the law to convict everybody so then he can save everybody. So then he can bless everybody. That's it. Hope you're blessed today. This law, thou shalt have no other gods before me, you know, don't commit adultery, murder, and all that kind of stuff. All of that is for God, for your neighbor. That's it. That's all God's ever wanted. Do nothing. Just do it by faith. If you do it by faith, when he comes back again, you'll have a new body, a new soul, a new walk, new everything. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that God wants that before he comes. I don't think, you don't do this in heaven. In heaven, you can't be like heaven. In heaven, you'll just be like heaven. But now, do it now, in this world. All right, who's blessed? Anyone else blessed? This is good news.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. This is good news. And if it's good news, then it's good for you. It's not good for God. It's good for you. God doesn't want anything from the earth. He wants to give everything to earth. But what he gives is wisdom. What he gives is truth. What he gives will set you free forever. All right. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He took bread. And what did he do? He said to his disciples, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Gift, free gift. Everything God does is a free gift. Do this in remembrance of my death. In other words, don't forget that I died for you so you don't have to die. That's a good promise right there. Since you don't have to die, you'll never die. You'll live forever and ever. World without end. It'll never end for you. So let us now partake of the bread of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a little wafer inside. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us nourishment, food. This is your food. This is the manna that's from heaven. This is the heavenly food. And even though we made it, it's actually from heaven. And I thank you, Lord God, that You want us to be nourished by the Word of God. And this is from heaven. We thank you that you said if you do this, you will grow. You'll have fellowship with me, and you'll grow with your fellow man. Thank you, Lord. And now, in the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to each of his disciples and said, drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Let us now partake of the cup. Lord, we thank you for this new covenant, this new idea that we could be free and happy and safe in this world with all the bad things going on.
Hallelujah.
Because we're not afraid, because you've perfect love casts out all fear.
Hallelujah.
And you say if we just do exactly what you say, nothing, if we're just nothing, that we'll be blessed forever and ever. And in Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is great. Hug somebody. Shake hands with somebody. I don't know if you're supposed to shake hands today or not. Wash your hands afterward.